For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Kate McKinney. Carter Callison currently lives in the upstate of South Carolina, but earlier this year, he received his PhD from the Royal Academy of Music in London. Carter is a double bassist, a composer, and an inventor. He invented the scordatura pedals for the double bass, which we'll learn about in a bit. And while so much of Carter's energy now surrounds the double bass, his first experiences in music were not in an orchestra, but in choir.
I started doing music, I guess from an early age, and it was really a choral background is where I started singing in elementary school choir, which kind of led me to sing and play in band in middle and high school. And a couple like very prominent experiences. I started singing with another church choir in the area in Asheville, North Carolina, and we did the Messiah. And when we sang, I sang the baritone bass part, and it was the first time I'd ever seen other stringed instruments performing with me, and I just had a very I was very drawn to the double bass, and that kind of led me to start. I talked my parents into purchasing me a very very inexpensive instrument, and started practicing like crazy, and then I about a year later auditioned to go to the North Carolina School of the Arts, and that's kind of everything kind of spiraled from there.
After Carter graduated from the North Carolina School of the Arts, he went on to be the first person to double major in both composition and bass performance at Manhattan School of Music. And while there, he took part in an exchange program that brought him to the Royal Academy of Music in London. He fell in love with London and went back for his master's and PhD. And for those of us who've never been across the pond, I asked Carter to share about his experiences at the Royal Academy of Music and in London in general and how it informed his work.
I believe that what drew me to London, first off, I was so excited before I went. I can't explain how excited I was. And that's actually where I was composing a lot here in the upstate in Spartanburg, preparing some pieces that that were going to be performed as soon as I got to London, one of which I was fortunate enough to have performed by the BBC Singers shortly after I arrived there, which was a thrill for me. I really enjoyed working with them, and as soon as I arrived, all of the pieces that I began working on, just the constructive criticism that I received from my teachers was amazing. It put a lot of things in perspective on how I need to think about changing certain aspects of my music and the aspects that brought me as an individual out, and once bits that I should cherish as in future pieces. Even while I was writing all these pieces, a lot on my own accord, there was always a lot of different faculty members and guest artists that would come in and engage us with lessons that were. That was extremely helpful. Some of the highlights is had multiple lessons with the former master of the Queen's music, Sir Peter Maxwell Davis, who came in at least three or four times a term and would work with individual students on a one-to-one basis and gave unbelievable lectures that were extremely influential and passionate and really helped motivate students to want to immediately get back into the studio and keep composing. Other people that were extremely beneficial to me were Oliver Nussen, who came in as well and has his own long experience conducting and composing in the UK, and just hearing him talk about conducting and working with major orchestras like the London Symphony Orchestra and various others really helped put perspective on how a young composer should approach certain things in the future and how to try to start a composition career in this day and age.
But even after working with these celebrated artists and scholars in London, Carter's roots are still here in the southeastern part of the United States. And it turns out both places have greatly influenced his compositions.
I definitely think I draw a lot of inspiration now from both places. I mean, especially, and I separated them in my musical thought, more between European composers and American composers, I do think that there is a difference in style. Now, it's really hard to put your finger on exactly what that style is, and it's extremely subjective. But when I look at my music, new pieces that I've written, I can see certain aspects that are very influenced by American music. I see influences with John Adams sometimes, and then on the other hand, I'm just as influenced by some of the musical thought of Europe, which is more atonal in a lot of respects. Not that American music isn't atonal, but it's just a very interesting mix between the two. So trying to pinpoint what my compositional identity is very difficult.
At the end of this segment, we'll hear Carter's bass concerto, which showcases Carter's varied interests. Of course, it's a bass concerto, and that's his primary instrument, but it also incorporates something else unique to Carter, his interest in tuning methods for the bass. And it's these challenges with tuning the instrument that make it notoriously difficult to write for.
There's been over 46 different tunings throughout the course of its history. I mean, there's usually an exception to every rule that you state about the double bass, even in terms of its size, the number of strings, the string lengths, the amount that you have to stretch between your fingers will change from instrument to instrument. One of the most famous double bass concertos that's still performed quite frequently is the Dittersdorf Concerto, which uses what they call Viennese tuning, which the top three strings are tuned D, F sharp, A, spells out a D major triad, a major third and a minor third, which is quite a rare tuning for a double bass. Now, you could probably what makes this quite interesting as well is the concerto is in D major. It makes it quite convenient having the open strings spell out a D major triad. And when you play this concerto, you can tell immediately that it works for the instrument. Sometimes you have one finger that just can bar across the strings, and all of the notes fit directly under the fingers. It's very idiomatic. It works for the instrument. So what I was interested in doing is seeing if I could, in my own sort of harmonic way and language, write a piece that was just as idiomatic, but really worked for the instrument. Having a piece that a double bass player would feel like it belonged on the instrument, as opposed to a cello or another instrument.
It was this Dittersdorf concerto with its Viennese tuning system that inspired Carter to invent something new for the instrument, what he calls scordatura pedals.
It's a system of mechanical pedals that you hook up to the double bass, and you can change the pitch of the strings while you're playing. It sounds like a crazy idea, and a lot of people have expressed their interest and their dismay all at the same time, but it's really, really opened up a lot of the possibilities of the instrument. For example, you can triple the amount of natural harmonics that you can perform, and a lot of times you can play chords that would be otherwise impossible. For me, it just got me really excited about what I would do with the instrument.
So the scordatura pedals are a game changer for the bassists. Like Carter says, it makes the instrument much easier to play by making certain pitches more accessible. I asked Carter whether or not these pedals change the way an audience member might hear the instrument, or if the pedals are solely for the performer's use. And his answer is it's a little bit of both.
The only thing it might not be as perceivable, but the possibilities, the open strings become much more resonant because there's that many more open strings by changing the pedals. So I think that the instrument becomes more resonant, and there's definitely a lot of chords and sonorities that are otherwise impossible. But it will still sound exactly like a normal double bass in any other context.
I'm Kate McKinney, and you're listening to an interview with Carter Callison, who was raised in the upstate of South Carolina, where he currently lives. But he's also spent a lot of his time in London at the Royal Academy of Music. He's not only a bassist, but also a composer and an inventor. And we'll hear his piece, Lineakea, in a moment, which is a concerto for double bass and uses Carter's own scordatura pedals.
Lineakea is something that cosmologists have recently starting to label this space system that's even bigger than the Milky Way. They're calling it our address in the universe. So I was immediately thinking of big picture, interstellar sort of images began coming to mind. And the piece is about 17, 18 minutes long, and it's in one substantial movement. What was really interesting about this piece is I actually have the stringed instruments use scordatura throughout the work as well. Now, using scordatura in an orchestral environment is really, really risky. So what I've done is actually have certain instruments tune their instrument down a half step or a half and a quarter tone step so that it becomes a transposing instrument. So they'll read the music just like they would normally, except their instrument will sound lower. And what this does is it creates a lot of more open strings on all of the different instruments that I have. And the resonance of these open strings, I thought, would really capture the idea of these space systems mirror that idea.
Composer, bassist, and inventor Carter Callison introducing his double bass concerto, Lineakea. I'm Kate McKinney for South Carolina Public Radio. Now that we've heard from Carter, let's hear this piece now. Callison's Lineakea, with the composer himself on the bass, performing with musicians from the Royal Academy of Music.
Thank you.
Thank you.